In this TV and radio business, you get a chance to meet a lot of interesting people, and it's a lot of fun to get to know some celebrities. But I'll tell you something, one of the greatest thrills I've had over the years was getting to know Jim Lovell, who we interviewed many times on TV and radio. And we're going to replay a recent conversation we had with Jim coming up after a break. We are remembering Jim Lovell. And we had the good fortune of being with the captain many times over the years. Back in 2022, we were featuring Lake Forest as part of our Your Hometown series, and we could think of no better guest than Jim Lovell. We asked him at the time what brought him to Lake Forest, and we also talked about the story behind Apollo 8 and whether that would have made for an even better movie than Apollo 13. And he gave us the true story behind Houston, We Have a Problem. Ah, yes, the Apollo 13 theme. Being a space junkie, I'll use any excuse to get Jim Lovell on our broadcast. And when I heard Lake Forest would be the place on our Your Hometown feature today, I thought, perfect. We'll get their most famous resident. Here he is, the pilot of Gemini 7, commander of Gemini 12. He navigated Apollo 8, the first manned spacecraft to orbit the moon, and famously guided the Apollo 13 crew safely back to Earth. Good morning, Captain. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's always good to talk to you. Although you were born in Cleveland, you went to high school in Milwaukee and then to the University of Wisconsin in Madison, so you're definitely a Midwest guy. Is that why you decided to settle in Lake Forest?
Well, there's, of course, a couple of reasons. First of all, this is a great town. But I was down in Texas and running a telephone company down there. Well, we bought a company up here in Chicago, and then they asked me if I would go up there and run the Chicago division, and I said, fine. And so I came up here, and when I started working up here, I met a fellow that worked in the telephone company, but he also lived in Lake Forest. And so he said, you ought to come up and take a look at this place. And I said, well, that sounds pretty good. So I did. Marilyn and I came up here and we looked around. And as a matter of fact, I heard about this place before because when we were first married years ago, and she's from Milwaukee, we were on our honeymoon and we're driving up to Milwaukee through Chicago, and we stopped at Walgreens for breakfast in Lake Forest. and so we looked around. That sounds pretty, looked pretty good. So when I came up here to run the company, I met several people from Lake Forest, and we soon got up there and found a place to live. We first lived in Villa Turicum, Lake Forest.
And what do you enjoy most about the community there, Captain?
Well, it's laid back. It's a nice community, and it's people are very friendly, and the town is nice to just to visit. We bought a house on Lake Road, and we're within walking distance of the beach. And you know, Lake Forest has a beach up here, and so that was, you know, really great. Mm-hmm. And so we enjoyed it all our lives.
Over the years, you've been kind enough to indulge my obsession with the space program. Program and talk with me on TV and radio many times, but I don't think I ever asked you about your parents. How did they influence you in what you did later in life?
Well, unfortunately, I was the product of a sort of a divided marriage. My father actually died when I was a youngster, and so I was brought up by my mother, and I have to tell you, she did a wonderful job. When I was going through high school, we lived in a one-room apartment. Well, that's all we could afford. And very fortunately, at my senior year of high school, a recruiter came from the Navy looking for naval aviators. And naturally, I had no money for anything else, so I quickly applied for that. And they sent me to college in Wisconsin and then down to start my flight training. And when I got down there, I had forgotten I had applied for the Naval Academy. And suddenly the Navy called the commander officer of flight training and said, this fellow is applied for the Naval Academy. And so I was called in. I said, yes, I was. And they said, well, if you really want to make the Navy a career, you better go. So I did. And I went to the Naval Academy and graduated in 52.
Do I remember you saying that you really got interested in astronomy and space travel early on, in part because of your visits to Chicago and the Adler Planetarium?
That's true. When I was in Milwaukee, it was a part of a book, and it was all about using rockets to explore extreme altitudes. Then I came down to Chicago to visit my mother down here, and I would go to the
planetarium.
To listen to all the stuff they had to talk down there, and I got so acquainted with them that every time I came to Chicago, I visited the place. And finally, when I moved here, I went there almost permanently. And just recently, I retired from there, but I enjoyed that all quite a bit.
You're one of only three men to travel to the moon twice, but unlike astronauts Gene Cernan and John Young, you never walked on it. How do you get over that disappointment, or do you?
Well, I think you just have to live with it. You know, I know that I'll never walk on the moon, but I did go and see the moon for the very first time, and then I made several trips. And as a matter of fact, on the Apollo 13 flight, because we had the accident, we actually have a sort of a record of being farther from the Earth than anybody else.
Right. And it looks like we're going to the moon again. What do you think? Are we on the right track?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, I think we are on the right track. But, I mean, it keeps getting delayed. And, of course, the weather down there now isn't helpful.
Right. Yeah. Well, eventually, I guess they'll get that going. Jim, you're in the history books, of course. What part of your life story should young people who weren't around during your space missions pay closest attention to? What do you hope people read about and pay most attention to about the things you've done?
Well, I kind of think that I was growing up very, very poor. My mother had a hard time keeping us, you know, going, but she really developed me to go to school and do a good job and do various things. And so I think that listening to your parents is one of the reasons for me, or at least my mother, why I did what I did do.
And I know you're most proud of Apollo 8, and if they made a movie of that mission, it would have been pretty good too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that was a surprise. I was, you know, surprised when Ron Howard decided to do the movie.
Yeah, on 13, yeah, but the more you read about Apollo 8, the more you realize how dramatic a mission that was, right?
Yeah, Apollo 8 was really the highlight of the of my career.
And let's get this straight once and for all on Apollo 13. Jack Swigert, the astronaut, said from space, talking to Mission Control, we have a problem here. And then Mission Control said, would you say that again, please? And then you said, Houston, we've had a problem. Is that how it went?
That's exactly how it went. Swigert was the first person to say that. And the control people wanted to double check to make sure that they heard him right. So they called back and said, what did you say? Or something like that. And then I said, Houston, we have a problem.
Now we got it straight from the commander, Jim Lovell. Jim, it's always great to talk to you. Stay healthy. Our best to Marilyn. And by the way, say hi to your son, Jay. Jay Lovell's restaurant there in Highwood. I'm hooked on his delicious, healthy salmon. But tell him the problem I have with this place is I can't leave there without getting his cherry pie.
Hey, you're right. That cherry pie is great, isn't it?
All the best to you. About that, the commander, Jim Lovell, as we spotlight Lake Forest today. I almost used Dave Ennett's line. He told me, tell Jim you're like the Ernie Banks of space travel, having been so close to the moon but never stepped on it. You know, just like Ernie in a World Series. But I chickened out on that one. Our conversation with Jim Lovell from 2022. He was the real deal. Humble, friendly, great sense of humor, and he enjoyed recording this line for me.
Chicago, we got a problem. It's Bob Surratt.
We like putting that in our open now and then. We were sad to learn of the passing of the great James Lovell over the weekend, and what a life, though. He was 97, and just last fall, Netflix released a documentary called Apollo 13 Survival, and we wanted to know what Jim Lovell thought of it. And also, we asked him what he's most proud of, if he would join celebrities on those modern-day SpaceX flights. But we started our conversation and asked him for his review of the Netflix documentary.
Well, I was watching the documentary just a few minutes ago, and I'm wondering whether we ever got bought a home.
Good news, you made it.
Yeah, so come down.
You've always said you don't like to look back. I think you said if you don't look forward, you lose some of the meaning of life. Now at 96, are you allowing some reflection?
Well, I can't help but have reflections at 96 because most of what I had done in my life is beyond me now, of past. I still look at some of the films that some of the spacecraft work that we had done, and I still get excited occasionally when I see what's going on.
You should. I once asked what you're most proud of, and your answer at the time surprised me because you didn't talk about any space missions. You talked about your family. Is that still how you feel?
It is. My family, of course, stayed with me all the time that I was in space, and they kept going and really helped me quite a bit. So I'm forever grateful to have the wife that I did and the kids that I did to help me out.
You pilots tend not to be poets or philosophers, but let's face it, you had a near-death experience on 13. How did that change you?
Well, that's a good question. I think it changed me the fact that I survived. That I still had a life to live a little bit more, and I was very always thoughtful about the troops that backed me up when in mission control and everything to make me get home safely.
After watching the documentary, I thought about the Ron Howard movie, and he got it right pretty much, didn't he?
Yeah, Ron Howard did a very good job on telling the story.
I mean, he had a bit of conflict there among the astronauts, but that was Hollywood, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's always Hollywood always has to come into it a little bit.
About all of the space missions we see today, the civilians going up into space, it doesn't seem like it's as big a deal as it was in your day. What do you think about what's happening today with space and space travel?
You know, like all things, once space travel just started way back in my day, it was quite a big deal. But if we had gotten more space flights going, more people going up into space, it got not to be such a big deal anymore, but a routine operation. And I'm part of looking at it that way. Right now, it's sort of routine. I watch all the programs that I can because it still very much interests me. But so far, space programs and space in general have been a part of the country for 20, 30 years now.
And with all the missions today, is there just a tiny part of you that thinks, you know what? I could do it. I could go up there. Put me in one of those.
Well, I agree with you completely. I have all the aspirations that there's nothing wrong with me not to make another flight. And I suggested that several times. I didn't get a very good response.
Our conversation with Jim Lovell from October of last year. He was something, so friendly and so generous with his time, but he didn't really seek publicity. It wasn't about him. He just loved to promote space travel. You know, over the years, I was lucky enough to spend time with him and interview him on TV and radio, and I never got him to really talk about his feelings when he would see the moon and think about how close they came on Apollo 13 to landing, but they had to abort that part of the mission. And then on Apollo 8, they orbited the moon. They weren't supposed to land. So I was always trying to get him to talk about the feelings he must have when he looks up at the moon today. And I could never get him to really emote about that. But a lot of fun over the years to spend time, get to know Jim and the great Lovell family. Somebody else who got to interview him a lot, and I know is a fellow space geek, Phil Rogers. And Phil spent a lot of time over at NBC5 reporting. And at one point, he actually flew with Jim Lovell to Hutchinson, Kansas, because they were restoring his Gemini 12 spacecraft. And funny story, Phil told me about the NBC lawyers giving him a hard time because they wanted him to fill out a form for safety, saying how many hours he had in the air and when he had the last medical examination. And Phil said to the NBC people, hey, he brought a crippled spacecraft back from the moon. And they still wanted the form filled out, of course, right? Anyway, we'll post our conversations with Jim Lovell at WGNRadio.com. And if you check out my social media, X and also Facebook, I've got a great story and a funny picture posted there that I think you'll dig.